Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to see everybody here this evening. I want to thank y'all for inviting me to come here and Brother Robert. I'll try to do you justice if I can. like you said, I've been down at Enid for about 3 years now, and that's about all I've ever been, is right there. And thanks to Brother Robert, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing this. Because he pretty much taught me what I know that I didn't learn on my own, and I need to learn a lot more. And he wouldn't give up, neither. He just pushed me and drug me everywhere. You got to do this. I said, no, right, I can't do that. But anyway, what I'm going to talk about tonight, what I'm going to say is all pretty much out of memory. I know you probably know everything we're going to talk about. You've heard it all before. And, but if anyway, it'll be a good Bible review. Now, the subject got kind of changed on me from the time I heard about it till now. Brother Robert said he wanted me to talk on joys in serving Christ, and now we went to something else, joys of the Lord. But that's pretty much the same thing. First of all, I want to say that, when it comes to serving the Lord, that's what I'm going to talk about because I was half through when he changed the subject. When it comes to serving the Lord, you have to think about, there's a lot of ways that we could get joy and stuff from serving the Lord. But there's also a bunch of negative stuff that goes along with that too. And I'm going to talk about some of that negative stuff tonight up front and get it out of the way because we need to know that too. The Bible tells us about it. Anyway, first of all, I want to look at the definition to the word joy. We all know what it means, but it's just a good way to, it makes a good outline. I've learned that from him too. Definition to the word joy. Webster's Dictionary defines joy as the emotion that's evoked by well-being, success, good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. And some synonyms to that word. Now, synonyms, that's a word that words that practically have the same meaning. And a lot of times they can help you have a better understanding of the definition. And I say joy is simple, but some of the synonyms to that are gladness, happiness, bliss, and blessedness. Now, let's use this definition. We're going to apply it to our text today. The first part of the definition, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, and good fortune. When you serve Christ, you're going to have success because he's going to take care of you. And you're going to have well-being because he's going to take care of you. But this does not mean that being a Christian and serving Christ that you're not ever going to have trials and that you're not going to be tested. You think about Job and what he went through. Now, is happiness sometimes a benefit of being a Christian? Well, absolutely it is. But by the same token, Paul said all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Peter says that as we're trying to imitate Christ, that we're going to suffer. That we're going to suffer. Now, serving Christ and being a Christian is not always a bed of roses. Being a Christian is hard. Being a Christian means you're not going to be the most popular person in your class at school. And being a Christian means that you're not going to be the most popular and the most well-liked person in your neighborhood or on your job. Being a Christian means that you might even be alienated from the members of your own family. Mark chapter 10. We'll turn to a few verses tonight and look at them. Mark chapter 10. We'll look at verses 28 through 30. It says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wives or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. But then look at all the family that I gained. and all the churches that I've been involved in, all these members and all of God's family, that's all my family now. I believe I got my 100-fold out of deal. But by not being the most popular and well-liked person and being alienated from friends and family, is that too much for God to ask? You know, Christ did it. Christ suffered. Is the disciple better than the master? Do we have a right to deserve to be treated any different than our master was? You know, the reward for being a Christian in this world that this world promises is in the next life. You're going to suffer here. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I've never suffered. I've never grieved. Well, you know, if you've never suffered, God bless you. If you've never grieved for the loss of a loved one, God bless you. But I got some bad news for you. If you live long enough in this world, you will suffer. And you will grieve. And you will experience hard times. But it's so much easier to do this if you're a Christian. You know, it's so much easier to do these things and to go through these things when you have brothers and sisters in Christ that you can rely on. I want to be a part of a congregation that is concerned about edifying me. You know, edify means to build up and to make strong. I want my brethren that love me so much that they're willing to tell me what I'm doing wrong. And that they're willing to correct me and that they're willing to steer me in the right direction. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19, let us follow after the things which make for peace and the things we may be edified by. We want that peace and we want that joy in a right relationship with God. Now back on a positive note now, our definition of the word joy, it talked about success and good fortune. Well, yes, the Lord's going to take care of us if we serve Him. We say, He says so in His Word. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We want to look at verse 25. Talking about the Lord taking care of us. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add a cubic unto this stature? And why take ye the thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe than you? O ye of little faith! Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, when we can have that success, the Lord will provide what we need if we will seek and serve Him. Now once again, our definition is the definition of joy. Is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune. We talked about that. Now, it says, by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Like possessing what one desires. What is it that we desire as Christians? You know, why do we serve the Lord? We serve Him because we have a desire for His love. You know, we don't want Him to turn away from us and be at a point where He won't even hear us because of our sin. You remember Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Now, can you imagine how bad it would be
If we didn't have God in our lives and He turned His back on us like that. You know, we have that desire for His love and that joy that His love can bring. You know, that would be this horrible thing right there. Some people, you know, they struggle with the idea that serving God can bring about joy. But, you know, there's a survey that was out that said those who serve are more content and happy with their lives than those that do not serve the Lord and others. Serving Christ and others is a good thing. And it has its eternal rewards. But the main motive behind our serving is love. And some view Christianity like they view their jobs. You know, they don't really like their job, but they do it anyway because they want that paycheck. In the same way, some will do what God tells them to do because they want to go to heaven. And if we go through the motions of serving others and serving God without love, we're just wasting our time. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't know if y'all turners or not, but you do a lot of turning. I like y'all to see stuff. As they can tell you, I'm not so high at reading the Bible, so you better read it for yourself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, God's never desired that we serve Him because we feel like we have to. Instead, He wants us to find joy in serving Him and others. So if we're not motivated by the love of God, then Paul says it profits us nothing. True joy can only be had when it comes from love. And we can learn about love from God Himself. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because it involves torment. But he who fears has been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If somebody says, I love God, but he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother who he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You know, even if a person has never experienced love, they could read in their Bibles and find out what it's all about. God has shown his love for us in many ways. He created us and he created all the beauty that we see every day. He has been involved in our lives since the day of creation. And he created us with a free will. He made a plan of salvation, and we can choose to either follow or ignore. His greatest expression of love came from him offering up his only begotten son so that we could have salvation. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have no excuse for not understanding what true love really is. And since love motivated God to give up his son for our salvation, just think about what love can motivate us to do for God and others. You think about your life right now. How do you feel about serving God in the church and outside of the church? Do you still find joy in serving like you did when you first became a Christian? And like they say, when you was on fire for the Lord? Or does it seem like it's a burden to you now? If it seems like it's a burden to you, then you need to ask yourself why. If you don't know for sure, you know, you probably need to examine your prayer life and the amount of time that you spend studying God's Word. If you're not praying like you should, you know, you may be more dependent on yourself than you are on God. You know, if you're not studying God's Word as you should, You could be allowing the world and all the sinful ways of the world to influence you and to rob you of the joy of serving God. Now, if you want to cure your problem and find joy in serving the Lord, then you need to start praying more and studying God's Word more. You should pray for God to help you with this. He will help you to have more joy in serving Him if you will pray for it. When you put God's Word into your life on a daily basis, it will be a constant reminder of all the wonderful things that that God has done for you and the promises that He has made. And it can help you to change your attitude about serving the Lord. Now, we have to all remind ourselves from time to time about the commitment that we made to God when we chose to become Christians. I know I wanted to be active and be a part of the church. And I wanted to do that before I even became a Christian, before I even started back to going. I didn't want to sit on the pew. I wanted to take part in it and be active. Now, I didn't expect to go this far, but... I wanted to do the Lord's Supper and do some prayer. Because sometimes it's easy for us to become lazy in our service to God. And we should always strive to find that passion and that zeal that we had by serving God back when we first became Christians. Because we were taught to remain faithful unto the death. That's Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible teaches us to persevere, to press on to the goal, to run the race, to win. And we have to have that will and spirit to be able to do that. Now, some may not understand how joyful it can be to serve the Lord. You know, when you have joy in your heart from being a faithful servant of God, it will give you the stability that you have in your life that you need to, that produces that hope and that peace. All right, now let's look at a few people real quick that had joy in serving God. Of course, you can always think about Joshua. Joshua understood how joyful it was to serve God. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and he said, "And it seems evil." He said, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it's the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the lands whom you dwell. And but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua took great delight in serving God. Early on, he was chosen to be the leader of the children of Israel. And God told him not to go to the left or to the right, but to keep his commandments, and he would be with him. Well, knowing this, that caused Joshua to fight for the cause of God with joy. And that's the reason why he was so successful in defeating just city after city in the Promised Land. He also loved to worship God. Now, David is another example of somebody who loved serving God and loved worshiping God. And we can see this by his life and by the many praise songs that he wrote in the book of Psalms. For example, I'm going to give you like four examples real quick. Psalms chapter 21, verse 1. He said, "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, and how greatly he rejoiced. He shall rejoice." Psalms 27, 6. "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy. In his tabernacle I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Psalms chapter 32, verse 11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." And then last, Psalms 122, verse 1. "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now, these are just a few verses right here that express David's joy in serving God. He found joy in knowing the strength of God and the salvation that he offers. Now, as Christians, you know, we should be full of joy when we think about what all God has done for us in the past and what he does for us today and what he's going to do for us in the future. Can you imagine what life would be like if God was not in our lives? Or if he had not offered us salvation? You know, it would be a pretty miserable life, wouldn't it? When it came to David offering sacrifices, he didn't consider it to be a burden. You know, instead, he found a great joy in every opportunity that he had to serve God. He understood that everything belonged to God anyway. And he was thankful for the many blessings that God had given him. And since David knew how great God's blessings were, he told all of the righteous to shout for joy. As we read in Psalms chapter 122, verse 1, David loved it when it was time to worship God. We should have that same joy today. You know, what could be more thrilling and more important than coming to the house of the Lord and worshiping our Creator? Our main reason for coming together is to worship God. Some Christians go to the church for the social aspect of it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying family and friends at the church, but if, you know, that should not be our main reason for coming. We talked about David offering sacrifices. You know, we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore, of course, like he did in the Old Testament. The New Testament does talk about some sacrifices that we can make to God, though. Like in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Well, you know, we sing praises to God to do good to others. When we do this and we share what we have with others, it is considered a sacrifice that God is well pleased with. We should have no problems as Christians making these sacrifices. In fact, it should bring us great joy to do so, to do this for the Lord. Now, we all know that Jesus was the best example of serving. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Luke chapter 4, verse 8, he said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall thou serve." Now, Jesus' first priority was to serve the Father, which that included serving others, because it was the Father's will that we serve others. And you certainly never heard Jesus complaining about what his Father asked him to do. You know, nor do you see him have this negative attitude about the opportunities that he was given to glorify his God and his Father in heaven. Instead, it was always a joy to Jesus to serve God and others. If Jesus were like some of us today, then he'd probably tell the Father that, well, he didn't have time to heal the sick today because he was too busy. He had to work a 40-hour week, had to go to the grocery store, had to mow the yard. You know, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 7. Jesus gives us a description of what the Christian life is all about right here. He said, "And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat,' but will not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink?' Does he thank that servant because he's done the things that he was commanded of him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which you have commanded, will you just say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" Now, once we chose to become Christians, we become the Lord's servants. As Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6. If you would turn to Romans chapter 6, this is the last one. We won't turn to any more. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, you're going to look at verse 16. He says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether to sin unto death or unto obedience unto righteousness?" We can either serve sin or we can serve God. The big difference between the two is that one brings salvation and the other brings eternal condemnation, according to what Paul just told us. Now, notice what it says, verse 17. It said, "But God be thanked that you weren't the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Those who have obeyed the gospel have a lot to be thankful for, because, you know, we've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We no longer are a slave to sin. We can know that we have been saved, and we can have that hope of that eternal life in heaven. Now, this is why we see the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 39, and the jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 34, that they were rejoicing after they had been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Did you rejoice when you were baptized? I know I did. It was a great feeling to know that my sins were washed away. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I come up out of that water, I was clean, I had no sin. It was a great feeling. I was scared to make a move because I was scared I'd mess that up. I mean, I was. I walked around in a daze. It felt so good because I was like 48 years old when I did this. So I had a lifetime of sin I had to get rid of. And it was a relief to get rid of it. But if knowing what Christianity is all about and how God made it possible for us to have that salvation, if that does not bring joy to your heart and cause you to want to serve God, then nothing will. Unfortunately, sometimes Christians lose that joy for serving God, and they start viewing everything that they do in and out of the church as a chore, instead of seeing it as another opportunity to use their talents to serve the Lord. When Christians get to that point to where it's just no longer joyful to serve the Lord, then something is wrong. It could be a lack of knowledge of His Word. The further we distance ourselves from God's Word, the less joy we're going to have in serving Him. You know, if we don't make God's Word part of our life and use it to remind us of His great love for us and how He has given His all for us, then it's easy for us to just take His blessings for granted. And if you ever find yourself feeling like serving is more of an obligation than joyful, then you need to take a serious look at your life, because you're in a bad relationship with God. Serving God in and out of the church should always bring you joy. Even if you're suffering persecution for the cause of Christ. You know, the apostles suffered persecution, but they just went on with their lives. They didn't worry about themselves. Instead, they rejoiced because they were serving Christ. And they continued to preach the good news every day, wherever they could. And this is the same attitude that we should have today as Christians, because there's just nothing that should bring us greater joy than serving God any way that we can. As if you're here today, you've never been baptized to have your sins washed away like that, to be added to the church. If you've done this and you've let sin come back into your life, you stepped off of that narrow path, maybe you hadn't been serving God like you need to. If you need prayers to the congregation to help you with that, you need to come forward for any reason. You need to do so now as we stand the same.
When we walk with